Blessing. Our help is in the name of the Lord, who has made heaven and earth, who keepeth truth forever, and who never forsaketh the works of his own hands. Amen. Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you, from God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ, in communion with the Holy Ghost. Amen. Congregation, let us sing from Psalter number 8, stanzas 1 through 4, on the good and faithful, and God has set his love. When they call, he sends them blessings. From above, 1 through 4 of Psalter number 8. Scripture reading for this morning hour can be found in the Song of Solomon, the first chapter. Song of Solomon, chapter 1. But first we will read the holy law of God according to Exodus 20. And God spake all these words, saying, I am the Lord thy God, which have brought thee out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. And thou shalt have no other gods before me. Thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image, or any likeness of anything that is in heaven above, or that is in the earth beneath, or that is in the water under the earth. Thou shalt not bow down thyself to them, nor serve them. For I, the Lord thy God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children, unto the third and fourth generation of them that hate me, and showing mercy unto thousands of them that love me and keep my commandments. Thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain, for the Lord will not hold him guiltless that taketh his name in vain. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days shalt thou labor and do all thy work. But the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord thy God. In it thou shalt not do any work, thou, nor thy son, nor thy daughter, thy manservant, nor thy maidservant, nor thy cattle, nor thy stranger that is within thy gates. For in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, the sea and all that in them is, and rested the seventh day. Wherefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and hallowed it. Honor thy father and thy mother, that thy days may be long upon the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. Thou shalt not kill, and thou shalt not commit adultery, and thou shalt not steal, and thou shalt not bear false witness against thy neighbor. Thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's house. Thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's wife, nor his manservant, nor his maidservant, nor his ox, nor his ass, nor anything that is thy neighbor's. Song of Solomon, chapter 1. The Song of Songs, which is Solomon's, let him kiss me with the kisses of his mouth. For thy love is better than wine, because of the savor of thy good ointments. Thy name is as ointment poured forth. Therefore do the virgins love thee. Draw me, and we will run after thee. The king hath brought me into his chambers. We will be glad and rejoice in thee. We will remember thy love more than wine. The upright love thee. I am black, but comely, O ye daughters of Jerusalem, as the tents of Kedar, as the curtains of Solomon. Look not upon me, because I am black, because the sun hath looked upon me. My mother's children were angry with me. They made me the keeper of the vineyards, but mine own vineyard have I not kept. Tell me, O thou whom my soul loveth, where thou feedest, where thou makest thy flock to rest at noon. For why should I be as one that turneth aside by the flocks of thy companions? If thou know not, O thou fairest among women, go thy way forth by the footsteps of the flock, and feed thy kids beside the shepherd's tents. I have compared thee, O my love, to a company of horses in Pharaoh's chariots. Thy cheeks are comely with rows of jewels, and thy neck with chains of gold. We will make thee borders of gold with studs of silver. While the king sitteth at his table, my spikenard sendeth forth the smell thereof. A bundle of myrrh is my well-beloved unto me. He shall lie all night betwixt my breasts. My beloved is unto me as a cluster of camphor in the vineyards of Engedi. Behold, thou art fair, my love. Behold, thou art fair. Thou hast a dove's eyes. Behold, thou art fair, my beloved. Yea, pleasant. Also our bed is green. The beams of our house are cedar, and our rafters of fir. So far, the reading of God's holy word. We will now read the form for the administration of holy baptism, which you can find on page 55 or 126 in the back of your Psalter. The principal parts of the doctrine of holy baptism are these three. First, that we, with our children, are conceived and born in sin, and therefore are children of wrath, insomuch that we cannot enter into the kingdom of God except we are born again. This, the dipping in, or sprinkling with water, teaches us whereby the impurity of our souls is signified, and we admonished to loathe and humble ourselves before God, and seek for our purification and salvation without ourselves. Secondly, holy baptism witnesseth and sealeth unto us the washing away of our sins through Jesus Christ. Therefore, we are baptized in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. For when we are baptized in the name of the Father, God the Father witnesseth and sealeth unto us that he doth make an eternal covenant of grace with us, and adopts us for his children and heirs, and therefore will provide us with every good thing, and avert all evil, or turn it to our profit. And when we are baptized in the name of the Son sealeth unto us that he doth wash us in his blood from all our sins, incorporating us into the fellowship of his death and resurrection, so that we are freed from all our sins and accounted righteous before God. In like manner, when we are baptized in the name of the Holy Ghost, the Holy Ghost assures us by this holy sacrament that he will dwell in us and sanctify us to be members of Christ, applying unto us that which we have in Christ, namely, the washing away of our sins and the daily renewing of our lives, to till we shall finally be presented without spot or wrinkle among the assembly of the elect in life eternal. Thirdly, whereas in all covenants there are contained two parts, therefore are we by God through baptism admonished of and obliged unto new obedience, namely that we cleave to this one God, Father, Son, and Holy Ghost, that we trust in Him and love Him with all our hearts, with all our souls, with all our mind, with all our strength, that we forsake the world, crucify our old nature, and walk in a new and holy life. And if we sometimes, through weakness, fall into sin, we must not therefore despair of God's mercy, nor continue in sin, since baptism is a seal and undoubted testimony that we have an eternal covenant of grace with God. And although our young children do not understand these things, we may not therefore exclude them from baptism, for as they are without their knowledge partakers of the condemnation in Adam, so are they again received unto grace in Christ. As God speaketh unto Abraham, the father of all the faithful, and therefore unto us and our children, saying, I will establish my covenant between me and thee, and thy seed after thee in their generations, for an everlasting covenant to be a God unto thee and to thy seed after thee. This also the apostle Peter testifieth with these words, for the promise is unto you and to your children, and to all that are afar off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call. Therefore, God formerly commanded them to be circumcised, which was a seal of the covenant and of the righteousness of faith. And therefore Christ also embraced them, laid his hands upon them, and blessed them. Since then, baptism is come in the place of circumcision, and therefore infants are to be baptized as heirs of the kingdom of God and of his covenant. Parents are in duty bound further to instruct their children herein when they shall arrive to years of discretion. That therefore this holy ordinance of God may be administered to his glory, to our comfort, and to the edification of his church, let us call upon his holy name. O Almighty and Eternal God, thou who hast, according to thy severe judgment, punish the unbelieving and unrepentant world with the flood, and hast, according to thy great mercy, saved and protected believing Noah and his family. Thou, who hast drowned the obstinate Pharaoh and his host in the Red Sea, and hast led thy people Israel through the midst of the sea upon dry ground, by which baptism was signified, we beseech thee that thou wilt be pleased of thine infinite mercy graciously to look upon these children and incorporate them by thy Holy Spirit into thy Son, Jesus Christ, that they may be buried with him into his death, and be raised with him in newness of life, that they may daily follow him, joyfully bearing their cross, and cleave unto him in true faith, firm hope and ardent love. They may, with a comfortable sense of thy favor, leave this life, which is nothing but a continual death, and at the last day may appear without terror before the judgment seat of Christ, thy Son, through Jesus Christ our Lord, who with thee and the Holy Ghost, one only God, lives and reigns forever. Amen. While the children are brought in, let us sing from Psalter 419, stanzas 1 and 2. Forth from thy courts, thy sacred dwelling, in jubilant accord, we hear sweet strains of praises swelling, O Israel's mighty Lord. 1 and 2 of 419. I now request the parents to arise and to answer the following questions. Beloved in the Lord Jesus Christ, you have heard that baptism is an ordinance of God to seal unto us and to our seed his covenant. Therefore, it must be used to that end, not out of custom or superstition, that it may then be manifest that you are thus minded, you are to answer sincerely to these questions. First, whether you acknowledge that although our children are conceived and born in sin, and therefore are subject to all miseries, yea, to condemnation itself, yet that they are sanctified in Christ, and therefore, as members of his church, ought to be baptized. Secondly, whether you acknowledge the doctrine which is contained in the Old and New Testaments and in the articles of the Christian faith, and which is taught here in this Christian church to be the true and perfect doctrine of salvation. Thirdly, whether you promise and intend to see these children when come to the years of discretion, or of you are parents, instructed and brought up in the aforesaid doctrine, or help or cause them to be instructed therein to the utmost of your power. What is your answer, Mr. and Mrs. Everett Vinny? Mr. and Mrs. Patrick DeLeo.
Yes.
Dear parents, we have in the Word of God the message of God unto his church. And there is one church. It is one church over the length and breadth of the whole world. And it is one church from the beginning of time even unto the youngest day, the last day in this world. And that church that is saved by the same faith that is both in the Old Testament and in the New Testament. Thus, what was necessary for God's church in the Old Testament and for the strengthening of the doubts and the putting away of the fears in the Old Testament, that is exactly the same thing that is necessary for his church in the New Testament. And when we see that the Lord Jesus, he has celebrated the last Passover that he celebrated in his life, and then we see that he has in a very natural way brought in its stead a new sacrament, that is, the sacrament of the Holy Supper. And so we see also in a very natural way that the Lord has replaced circumcision, that covenant and that seal of the covenant in the Old Testament for his church, that they'd give hope and that they'd give expectation for his church in the Old Testament, that the Lord has also in a very natural way has replaced it with the sacrament of baptism. And therefore, the Apostle Paul has spoken to the churches of Asia Minor and said that it was not necessary for them anymore to be circumcised because they were baptized. In baptism, there is a promise that is exactly the same as there was in circumcision. And to whom is that promise? We have read it together in the form out of the Word of God. And then the Apostle Peter on the day of Pentecost did say, repent and be baptized. Why? He said, because that promise is unto you and to your children. And what is that promise? The promise has to do with the application of the covenant of grace. That has to do with the incorporation of ourselves, of our seed, into His covenant. What did the Lord say to Abraham? We read that also. The Lord said, I will establish. I will bring it forth. I will bring it to fruition. My covenant with you, and He says, with your seed. Thus, to whom does that promise belong? Promise actually belongs to the elect. The promise actually belongs to God's children. And that is the reason. We've spoken about this past week together. The reason that form also that is written from that point of view, because it is serving the true church of God. Therefore, this, what you do in this morning hour, that is for God's children. You say, perhaps, I am unconverted. Why is it then that I baptize my children? The Lord does not ask in His Word, why do you baptize your children? Why do you circumcise your children? We do not read that in the Word of God. No, on the other hand, the Lord has demanded that those children must be circumcised, or He says, I will cut you off from the congregation of the Lord. No, the Lord does not ask, why do you baptize your children? Do you know what the Lord asks? Why are you unconverted? Circumcise, He says then, the foreskin of your hearts. And thus, we have the sacrament of baptism, but the Lord is leaving us without excuse. Refuse, He says, my ordinance, and I will cut you off. If you willingly refuse that sign for your children, then He says, I will also refuse to you the substance of that sign which you now despise. But now on the other hand, He says, do not use my ordinance in a light manner. Do not abuse my ordinance. Do not use my ordinance only in the form, without the substance. Along with baptism is the requirement of repentance. And we have read that also in our form. And that is why the Apostle Peter, he says, repent and be baptized. Therefore, we have no excuse. And we hope that the baptism also of your children, that it may bring you in such a place of impossibility before the Lord, that you say, this is now commanded of the Lord, and I cannot do it. And now I am commanded of the Lord to convert myself, and I cannot do it. And may this now bring you to the throne of grace, that it may be to the welfare of both yourselves and your dear children. Congregation, after the amen of baptism, we ask you to arise and to sing Psalter 425, stanza 5. Kelly Aliyah, I baptize thee in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. Shania Michelle, I baptize thee in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Let us now close with thanksgiving and at the same time ask for a blessing on this service. We hope to remember in prayer the mother of Rhea Hairwire and William Van Herk, who is still in the hospital in Calgary, and also Mr. Dylan Outshorn, who had an accident in the week that is gone by. Let us try to pray. Almighty God and merciful Father, we thank and praise Thee that Thou hast forgiven us and our children all our sins through the blood of Thy beloved Son, Jesus Christ, and received us through Thy Holy Spirit as members of Thine only begotten Son, and adopted us to be Thy children, and sealed and confirmed the same unto us by holy baptism. We beseech thee through the same Son of thy love, that thou wilt be pleased always to govern these baptized children by thy Holy Spirit, that they may be piously and religiously educated, increase and grow up in the Lord Jesus Christ, that they then may acknowledge thy fatherly goodness and mercy which thou hast shown to them and us, and live in all righteousness under our only teacher, King and High Priest, Jesus Christ, and manfully fight against and overcome sin, the devil, and his whole dominion, to the end that they may eternally praise and magnify Thee and Thy Son, Jesus Christ, together with the Holy Ghost, the one only true God, and that we, each one of us with our dear children, who are baptized in that name of a triune God, may not forever and forever have this sign and seal to testify against us in that separation from thee in an eternal pit of corruption. Lord, that thou may instruct each and every one of us in the seriousness of this matter. For we are those who are so often taking all thy blessings for granted. And then also the holy sacraments which thou hast commanded. Then we are such carnal creatures. O Lord, thou knowest that we dwell upon the earth, and that we are not so heavenly minded as we ought to be, and that our heart that is not set by nature at all upon the things above, so that which is signified and sealed even upon our very foreheads, that a substance that is signified that is not dear unto our hearts. O Lord, that thou may open then our poor blind eyes when we so live with our dear children in this world, and that we may not be able to let thee go except that thou would bless us, and that we with our children may be instructed by the power of thy Holy Spirit to give new life from the dead, that may yearn, that may hunger and thirst after this blessing, that we may be washed and that we may be cleansed. Lord, then we need to know what our sin is, and we need to have our eyes opened by thee in that most powerful work of regeneration that alone can come from thee. Oh, that is thy own work. Oh, that thou may give us that gift of true saving faith in its beginnings, could it be even in this very day, that thy holy sacrament administered in the midst of us may for the first time or by renewal cause a holy burning within our heart after the true and the living God, and that blessed washing may become so necessary for us when we may feel how wretched and how guilty and how polluted that we are from the crown of the head to the sole of the foot. O Lord, teach thou us. Thou art that great prophet that are able to open our poor blind eyes. And thou art also that heavenly high priest who has taken it upon thyself to offer that one only sacrifice. Wilt thou send forth in thy spirit for the application in the days that we still live in with our dear children? Lord, must we not say that the walls of Zion are so broken down and the enemy has taken his place in our midst, and that so many things of this world do come in our families and in our households, that Satan seeks by way of this world and the desires after this world to bring our children and ourselves into perdition. And then also we must confess that as thy children also, that love has waxed so cold, and then thy spirit seems to go not out as heretofore, so that also the instruction that is received by thy church, that is waning away, that is not known in our midst in great abundance, O Lord, wilt thou build up the walls of Zion, that thou may grant once again the powerful working of thy Holy Spirit. We cannot give it to ourselves or to our children. Lord, it is thy own work, but thou hast promised it, even unto Abraham, and thou hast also continued it even unto this day by this sacrament, that thou wilt work in thy children and in their seed. Oh, we beseech thee, Lord, then to continue, and that thou may remember what thou hast said, and that thou may remember what thou hast promised, and that thou may look upon us with our seed and give the Spirit's work in great abundance once again. Oh, that many may be brought to true conversion, and that thou may lead from step to step on that way of Zion. Lord, look upon thy children, and then it is their only hope, and that thou may continue in the rising and in the coming generation. And because thou knowest the burden that lies upon their heart, oh, they can give it unto no one, and they can keep it not for themselves. Oh, then it is alone thy word upon which they may rest by moments in this world. Oh, that thou may give them an eye upon thee also in this morning hour, that their heart may rest, that thou art that great King, and that thou art working everything to thy own honor and to thy glory, and that thou art bringing in thy own church in thy own way, that through all their disappointments and discouragements, and that thou art still upon the throne, and that thou reignest over all the land. Oh, then look upon us in mercy as a congregation. Turn us away from all the worldly influences, and that thou may cause us to be cautious also as parents when we are bringing up our children. Oh, that we may walk ourselves in a right way, and that we may instruct our children in that way, and that we may guard ourselves against all the influences of this world, and that our that we may be upon our knees continually before thee. Wilt thou look upon us then in this day? Lord, be with those that are not able to be amongst us, those that are afflicted and sick, or those who must stay in their own homes or places in this morning hour. Bless them also with a blessing from above, as thou art not bound to time or to place. Remember also widows, widowers, and orphans, and all those that need thee in special ways. Look upon the mother of those in our midst that lie still in the hospital. Lord, wilt thou care for her in the body, and wilt thou visit her in the soul, and wilt thou supply in all her need, and strengthen her family also to care for her. And look also upon the young men in our midst who may be in our midst in this day. Lord, thou knowest all that has taken place. Oh, in one moment thou art able to cut us off, and he may experience it to be so in the week that is gone by. Oh, we ask of thee, Lord, and that thou may give him and his parents and family and all of us together a humble heart in this morning, and in his automobile that will be now rusting away. Oh, then his body that is not to decay yet in the grave, but he is still to be with us and his family. Lord, thou hast spoken so loudly and clearly in his life. Oh, could it please thee also to sink it deep in his heart, and that he might learn to love thee so for thy goodness, that his heart may go out to thee. Because, Lord, all we know ourselves also, and that all these matters and these callings, they do not move our hearts. But, oh, move thou our hearts all together under all thy great goodness and thy sparing hand over each and every one of us. And wilt thou look upon us in this morning, and we are gathered around thy holy word. Lord, help us to bring thy word according to the meaning of thy Holy Spirit, and give us insight, give us life in our soul, and give us a desire for the welfare of this our flock. Be thou in the midst as one that serveth, and forgive and keep us from all iniquity. And we ask also for the grandparents of these children. Look on them in the places where they are, whether they may be here or elsewhere. Lord, wilt thou remember them also, and humble them under thy great goodness, also thy servant. Be with him in this day, and all thy truly sent servants to bring thy word. Forgive our many sins for Jesus' sake. Amen. While your offering is being received, we'll sing from Psalter number 236, all stanzas. By all whom thou hast made, be praise and worship paid through earth abroad. Thy name be glorified, there is none great beside. Matchless, thy works abide, for thou art God, we announce. Next week, the Lord willing, there will be reading services, not as it says in the bulletin that we would be here, but we hope to be serving the Lansing, Illinois congregation, as next week we have synodical education and school association meetings to attend. Also, the last collection today is for the building fund, Psalter 236, all stanzas. Thank you. Congregation, the words of our text for this morning hour you can find in the portion that was read to you, the Song of Solomon, and there of the first chapter, the second part of the second verse. Song of Solomon, chapter 1, verse 2b. For thy love is better than wine. So far, the words of our text. The bride's estimation of the love of Christ. First, the author of this estimation. Second, the superiority of this estimation. The bride's estimation of the love of Christ. First, the author. Second, the superiority of this estimation. Let him kiss me with kisses of his mouth. That is the desire of the bride that we have heard last week. That is the desire of, we have heard, that experienced church of God. And wherefore? Why is this her desire, that she may be kissed with the kisses of his mouth? Well, that is given to us in our text. Thus, after she expresses what her desire is, then she is giving the reason. She is telling why. Why that she desires such kisses. For, she says, thy love is better than wine. That is her estimation. That is what she thinks. That is the way she is feeling about the love of her bridegroom. Thus, congregation, it gives to us a point of examination. What is more important for us than to know that we are also one of that bride, that we are also one of that true church? And now we may hear what is the character and what is living in the heart, as we can read it in the Song of Solomon, as we can read it in the Psalms. What is now living in the heart, what is burning in the heart of the true church of God. And why is this so important? This is the fruit, not of man. But this is now the fruit of the Holy Spirit working in a man. As we heard, the love of man unto him, that estimation of the love of Christ, John says, we love him. Why? We love him because that he first loved us. Thus, when our heart that is going out after him in love, then we do have a token, then we have a manifestation within ourselves that also we are loved by him. By nature, we have no such love. By nature, we see in him no form. We see in him no comeliness. We would rather, young people, have wine. And maybe not just young people. No, maybe also those who are older, fathers, mothers, grandfathers, grandmothers. We'd rather go, perhaps, to a gathering with one another. We would rather drink alcohol with one another than to come on the Sabbath day to the church of God, to the house of God. Rather drink alcohol, rather go to a party, young people, than to bow our knees, than to read the Word of God. We would rather be laughing. We would rather be having a good time and spending our time in all the pleasures of this world. For thy love is better than wine. The love of Christ. You say, what is that? No, if I'm honest with myself, and I do not know and I do not have any love for this bridegroom. But wine congregation, that is not only a literal thing, that is not only wine, but that is also symbolic. Wine is a symbol of all of the good things of this life, the best things of this life. We know that wine is expensive. Thus, wine is something that belongs not to the poor, but it belongs unto the rich. Thus, those that may have the abundance, those that may have all that their hearts could wish in this world, not just alcohol, but all the good things of life. Thus, how is that? How is that with us? How is it with us parents? What is evident in our families to our children? How is it with us still grandparents when we have also grandchildren and great-grandchildren when we have grown old? Then thy love is better than wine? The love of Christ? No, if I am honest, then all the good things of this world, they mean more to me than the love of Christ. Even though I have much form of religion, even though I have much custom, good custom, the love of Christ, no, I must say, if I am honest, that I have no such love. Congregation, do you see what grace does? What a change. What a great change that grace is working in the heart of a man. But a great change that grace is working even in the heart of a religious person. Even in the heart of a Saul of Tyrus. And why such a great change? All outward religion, that is not able to work this change. Maybe it changes our behavior in an outward way. That is good. But love for Christ, thy love is better than wine. Oh, that is now a work. That is now a great, that is now a mighty work of the Holy Spirit to change my heart, to change my affection, and to give me a love for something that before I have no love for. When I am honest, I say there is no love for him. And now to put that love in my own heart, no, I am not able. Oh, what a mighty, what a powerful work is necessary that we may have the same desire of this bride. Let him kiss me with the kisses of his mouth. For thy love is better than wine. Is that now an estimation that is in the heart immediately of that renewed church? Thus, when the Lord gives regeneration, when the Lord gives that new birth, then is this now what their heart is going out after? No, it is not. Who is here speaking? It is the bride. You remember we have spoken how that there is more than the bride. There are also the upright and the virgins. And there are also the daughters of Jerusalem. And here, this is the experienced bride that is speaking. And that confesses that thy love that is better than wine. But let us look at the daughters of Jerusalem. And when we hear the daughters of Jerusalem speaking, then what are they saying? All they hear the bride. And the bride is speaking about her bridegroom. And what is in their heart? And they say, what is thy beloved? What is thy beloved more than another beloved? They do not understand. No, they have no desire after that second person.
They have no desire after the Lord Jesus Christ.
Oh, indeed,
they are born in Jerusalem. Indeed, this is the true church of God. Indeed, that desire and that burning after God that has been placed in their heart.
Oh, they desire to converse with the bride.
They desire to be in the company of that bride. But they do not know that same love and that same estimation for that bridegroom.
Why?
Oh, they do not know this bridegroom. They are not yet acquainted with this bridegroom. And thus, what a great work, what a great and powerful work is necessary for the Holy Spirit of the Lord. That Holy Spirit of the Lord may change the estimation of those daughters of Jerusalem. That they also might learn to love that bride, that their heart, that bridegroom, that their heart may go out after that bridegroom the same as it is in the heart of that bride. For thy love is better than wine. It is not an easy thing to change the estimation of a person concerning the love of Christ. To give now that love unto the natural man, that is impossible. Yes, it is possible that the natural emotions of man are touched. It is possible, just as those women that are weeping after the Lord Jesus on the way to the cross, for our emotions to be worked up. That is possible. It is possible that within us is also stirred that natural desire for our own welfare. We all have this. And by times, then we also may think of what is happening after our death. That we are not looking only for our earthly welfare, but we are also looking for our eternal welfare. Then we begin to seek Jesus. Why? Because we know. Because we have heard that it is only through Jesus that I may receive those same benefits. Or it is possible to arouse the joyful sensations also of our natural flesh, that we may sing together with the people of the Lord, that we may say, Hosanna, blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord. That is all possible. Because we are men, because we are not stocks and blocks. But now to give in our heart that same estimation that the bride has for the bridegroom. Oh, that in our heart we would truly feel thy love is better than wine. This is for us an impossibility. And we cannot only work it, we cannot only not work it in the unconverted, but we also cannot work it in that newly regenerated soul. We cannot work it in the daughters of Jerusalem, because they also see nothing yet in that bride. Neither can we give it unto that young people. There is a great difference between passion in this world, passion, and true love. What is the difference? Passion that is seeking my own fulfillment. True love does not. True love is seeking another person for who that they are. Great difference. One seeking my own fulfillment. Another seeking another person for who they are. How does Christ become precious to a person? Oh, Christ does not become precious to a person until they see value in his offices, until they see value in his work, until they see the blessedness of his own person. This that renewed soul sees nothing of. The regenerated soul does see nothing of a need for Christ. He sees no preciousness in him. He does not see how that this mediator would be suitable for his own case. Therefore, he does not love him, though he loves the Lord. Or, why is he so hidden? Why is that second person so hidden to the people? That is because they are still so unacquainted with themselves. Still so unacquainted with their own deep fall. Still so unacquainted with their need for deliverance. With their need for a Savior. Indeed. Oh, they would be reconciled unto God. Oh, that desire that is planted in their heart in regeneration. But what do they not understand? They do not see. They do not feel their own weakness. Paul says, I am weak through the flesh. Oh, this is the instruction that newborn church still has to receive. What does that church still say? Have patience with me. Just patience. Just time. Until I may fulfill it all. Because they still do not understand their inability. They are sincere. They are upright. And yet, they are mistaken. For thy love is better than what? What a great, what a powerful work that the Holy Spirit has to do. To set the love of a man upon the Lord Jesus Christ. And the Lord is free, but very often that is something that is taking many years. Isaac, very rightly, questioned who he thought was Esau because he brought that venison so quickly to him. How is it that you have received it so quickly? That is not natural. Yes, could be that the Lord worked something special. Tell me of it then. How is it that you have received it so quickly? That is not natural. So it is. Why? Because man is not quickly renouncing his own righteousness. No, we hold on to our own righteousness. Who can take it away from us? Man is not quickly renouncing his own strength, his own ability. No, who can take it away from us? Oh, man, the first sin was what? That was pride. Oh, he will be himself as God. And so he continues to be. Man is not ready to need someone to help him to reconcile him unto God? No, we can do it. There is no esteem. No esteem for Christ without self-knowledge. It is impossible. Therefore, that is the work of the Holy Spirit, to teach a man his death state. What did Paul say? He says, I was alive without the law once. Children, was he without the law? He lived according to the law. He was taught the law. According at the feet of Gamaliel, he knew the law. He lived according to that law. And what does he say? Later, not then, later, I was without the law. With all my religion, with all my doing, and I have lived in good conscience, but I was without the law. And then he said, the law came. It came. All then it came where? That law came here. It came in my heart, in its spirituality. Then I saw the true requirements of that law. Then I saw the holiness of God. And then what? And then I died. Then I died. All then I understood that I was not a keeper of that law. All then I understood myself. Self-knowledge. Oh, so necessary. Then he saw, I am weak. Weak through my flesh, because my flesh is a fallen flesh. All then his pride was broken. Then he saw the powerlessness of that old covenant. Not because of that covenant, but because of himself. All, thy love is better than wine. Do you see? Oh, can you feel how that this is not a fruit of our own field? This estimation of that love of Christ? A powerful work of the Holy Spirit, so that many say, Jesus loves me, this I know. How do you know? How do you know? If your heart was never humbled, then you have never needed him. What did he say himself? He said, the whole need not a physician, but they that are sick. And now these are they who learn to say, thy love is better than wine. Seated in our second thought, the superiority of this estimation, for thy love is better than wine. What does the bride say? There is nothing better. There is nothing greater. She has looked. She cannot find anything in this world. And do you know what the original, the Hebrew actually says? That says, for thy loves are better than wine. It is in the plural. Love, that is an attribute of God. God is his attributes. Therefore, God, John says, God is love. The world, the natural man, cannot understand how that the love of God can be consistent with his justice and his righteousness to punish man for his iniquity. But it is. There is no comparison with the love of God, who he is in himself, with anything that can be found in this whole world. But Solomon now writes of his loves. How is that possible? Is the love of God divided? Is there a plurality in the love of God? How is that then consistent with the being of God, which is a simple being, not compounded? Oh, Solomon does not speak about the attribute merely, but he is speaking, we heard that last week, about the manifestations of this attribute. When the Lord is showing this love unto his church, therefore, he said, let him kiss me with the kisses of his mouth. The love of God does not only surpass all the love in this world, but it is also experienced. experienced to surpass all the love in this world. That is the estimation that will be of that love in the heart of the true church of God. Thy loves are better than wine.
Love has degrees. It is not all the same. The love of Jonathan for David, we read, that was a great love. It was a love that surpassed the love of women. And now, congregation, how? How can love be experienced in its true greatness, in its real greatness? How can love be experienced in its greatness? It can be experienced in its greatness over against the unworthiness of the object of that love. Today, love waxes cold. And when there is a little unworthiness in a man, in a husband, then the wife, she says, out. And vice versa. Because you have done this, done that. But when despite unworthiness, then there is a remaining and a working together, then we see the strength of love. Thus, love, the greatness of love that is especially experienced over against the unworthiness of the object. What does the Apostle Paul say? For scarcely for a righteous man would one die. And peradventure for a good man some would even dare to die. But God commendeth his love, the greatness of his love. God commendeth his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Thus the greatness of that love that is over against the unworthiness of the object. And the more unworthy the object, the greater that love shows itself to be. The elder brother could not understand the love of his father to his brother. And it was a greater wonder to that young man himself. Why? Because of the unworthiness of himself. And it is in the realization, of that unworthiness, that a wretched and an undone sinner experiences the greatness of that love of Christ. For thy loves are better than wine. Luther said, doctrine is heaven. Doctrine is heaven. Why? Oh, that love of God is his attribute. But what may he experience? He may experience that love in his own heart, in his own life. And when we may experience that doctrine in our own soul, then indeed we will say with Luther, doctrine is heaven. The Pharisee was thankful for what? He was thankful because he was not like other men. And he knew nothing of the love of Christ. Nothing. But a publican, oh, he experienced, thy love is better than wine. Oh, what is greater for a condemned sinner? A condemned sinner to be delivered from his just and righteous condemnation by the love of God. Oh, did not that thief. He had to say what he deserved. Thus it is always experienced over against the unworthiness of the object. We receive the due reward of our deeds. That is the experience. And therefore, that church will say, thy loves are better than wine. Paul, he says, it is a love that passeth all understanding. Who can comprehend that love? He says. Why? Why? He says, because it was shown to me. That is why. To me also, because I persecuted the church of God, and therefore was the least of all of the apostles, before he says a blasphemer, and a persecutor, and injurious. And then he confesses, the grace of our Lord was exceeding abundant with faith and love, which is in the Lord Jesus Christ. Self-knowledge. Self-knowledge that is indispensable that we might esteem that love of Christ as the bride, and to say with the bride, thy loves are better than wine. Peter said, grow, grow, grow in grace. Grace that is to the unworthy. And if we will grow in grace, then we have to grow in the knowledge of our unworthiness. And it will be over against this unworthiness of the object. Oh, then we will decrease, and then he will increase. And then the wonder is going to forever increase. And the estimation of that love of that bridegroom that is forever going to grow. Let us sing Psalter 64. 2 and 3. Lord, to me thy ways make known. Guide in truth and teach thou me. Thou my Savior art alone. All the day I wait for thee. 2 and 3 of Psalter 64. Let him kiss me with the kisses of his mouth, for thy love is better than wine. Congregation, what is now our estimation? What is our estimation of this love of Christ? Do we need that love? Do we desire that love? Or is there still in our heart, there is no form, there is no comeliness for Christ? The religious Jews could do without him well enough, but if it was not for this love, how would it have been for the blind and the lame and the deaf and the dumb? What did that multitude say to Bartimaeus? They said, hold your peace. But the Lord Jesus said, bring him unto me. Will that not now be a man who will say, thy love, his love, that is better than wine? Peter went out and wept bitterly. And what did he experience? The Lord Jesus came to him when he had risen from the dead. Will not Peter be a man who will say with this bride, thy love is better than wine? Is that love not the hope? Is that love not the expectation of a church that is so often disappointed with themselves in that warfare of that church militant? Was that love not the only comfort of the Apostle Paul when he said that there is a law in my members and I cannot get rid of it out of my members? But he says, who shall separate us from the love of Christ? For thy love is better than wine. Did you ever experience that love in your own heart? Or was that love ever precious for its freeness? Because it was without money and without price. Wine is expensive. But what did the Lord Jesus say? He said, to the poor, the gospel is preached. Is that not the experience of the poor in spirit? Will they not also say with that bride, his love, thy love is better than wine? Or was it ever precious to you? Was it ever precious to you because of its endurance? And that it is despite all sin and the continuance of sin, and that he says to his church, I have loved thee with an everlasting love. Was it ever precious to you for its comfort? Solomon, he says to give a wine to him that is of a heavy heart. Why? That he may forget his misery for a moment in this world, that he may receive a little rest from his misery. And now there is a people who may be given to say by that Spirit of the Lord, the sins, they are as far removed as east from west is distant. No more conscience of sins. Is that not a comfort? Is that not a great rest? And is that not a people who will say, thy loves are better than wine? Was it ever precious to you because it was so unsighted? Because you saw how that you are a rebellious creature and that you were going your own way and that if you had been left to yourself, you had worked out your own destruction? But when the Lord came, that he came to you when you were lying polluted in your own blood, and that with loving kindness he has drawn you so that you became willing in the day of his power. Oh, do you not say then his love's better than wine, better than anything that I can possibly find enjoyment here in this world. Time fails this congregation to speak of that love, to speak about the constancy of that love, the unchangeableness of that love, the greatness of that love, that strength of that love, the immeasurability of that love of Christ. It is not a love of triviality. It is not a love of insignificance. It is a saving love. It is a love that delivers from the greatest evil, that is sin, and it brings unto the highest good. And therefore the estimation of that love is forever going to increase in a people who are ever learning more about themselves, so that they say, thy loves are better than wine. And now the tokens, parents, these tokens, they are also tokens, and that are coming out of this love of Christ. And if we would but feel something of our own wretchedness, and feel something of our, if we feel our filth, then we need water. And we are so glad with water. And if we will now feel something of the filth of our heart, oh, then how glad we will be with that blood. And if we will feel something and see something, as we may see it daily with our children, how that they are also so wretched and so filthy, oh, then we will be so glad. And that promise, even that, will be such a wonder to us. Therefore, teach your children who they are. Show to them their own wretchedness, that this also may become precious to them. Congregation, what is our esteem? What is our esteem of the love of Christ? Do we need it? Do we love him for his work? Do we love him for his offices? Outside of him, there is no salvation. And now we can say we love him, but are we loved by him? And if we are loved by him, then we will be instructed in the knowledge of ourself, so that he may work in us also a love for himself. Because the glorying of that church, that is a church that is glorying as Mephibosheth, all, what is thy servant that thou shouldest look upon such a dead dog as I am? Oh, that is now the people that will forever and forever magnify his love. Thy loves are better than wine. Amen. O Lord of heaven and of earth, instruct us in thy truth. O teach us who we are, that we also may come to love thee and all that thou hast done in thy only begotten Son, O given himself with a love even unto death, the death of the cross, for such wretched and rebellious creatures as we are with our children. O Lord, this baptism that is speaking of a fountain that is open, O give that it may be open for us and our seed also. Bring us safely to our homes, and give us a desire in our hearts to be together in this afternoon again. Bless thy word and sacrament. Forgive our many sins for Jesus' sake. Amen. 292, stanzas 2 through 5. From captivity released, from the south and from the north, from the west and from the east, in his love he brought them forth, ransomed out of every land from the adversary's hand. 2 through 5 of 292. blessing. Our help is in the name of the Lord, who has made heaven and earth, who keepeth truth forever, and who never forsaketh the works of his own hands. Amen. Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you, from God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ, in communion with the Holy Ghost. Amen. Congregation, let us sing from Psalter number 8, stanzas 1 through 4, on the good and faithful, and God has set his love. When they call, he sends them blessings. From above, 1 through 4 of Psalter number 8. Scripture reading for this morning hour can be found in the Song of Solomon, the first chapter. Song of Solomon, chapter 1. But first we will read the holy law of God according to Exodus 20. And God spake all these words, saying, I am the Lord thy God, which have brought thee out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. And thou shalt have no other gods before me. And thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image, or any likeness of anything that is in heaven above, or that is in the earth beneath, or that is in the water under the earth. Thou shalt not bow down thyself to them, nor serve them. For I, the Lord thy God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children, unto the third and fourth generation of them that hate me, and showing mercy unto thousands of them that love me and keep my commandments. Thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain, for the Lord will not hold him guiltless that taketh his name in vain. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days shalt thou labor and do all thy work. But the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord thy God. In it thou shalt not do any work, thou, nor thy son, nor thy daughter, thy manservant, nor thy maidservant, nor thy cattle, nor thy stranger that is within thy gates. For in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, the sea and all that in them is, and rested the seventh day. Wherefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and hallowed it. Honor thy father and thy mother, that thy days may be long upon the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. Thou shalt not kill, and thou shalt not commit adultery, and thou shalt not steal, and thou shalt not bear false witness against thy neighbor. Thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's house. Thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's wife, nor his manservant, nor his maidservant, nor his ox, nor his ass, nor anything that is thy neighbor's. Song of Solomon, chapter 1. The Song of Songs, which is Solomon's, let him kiss me with the kisses of his mouth. For thy love is better than wine. Because of the savor of thy good ointments, thy name is as ointment poured forth. Therefore do the virgins love thee. Draw me, and we will run after thee. The king hath brought me into his chambers. We will be glad and rejoice in thee. We will remember thy love more than wine. The upright love thee. I am black, but comely, O ye daughters of Jerusalem, as the tents of Kedar, as the curtains of Solomon. Look not upon me, because I am black, because the sun hath looked upon me. My mother's children were angry with me. They made me the keeper of the vineyards, but mine own vineyard have I not kept. Tell me, O thou whom my soul loveth, where thou feedest, where thou makest thy flock to rest at noon. For why should I be as one that turneth aside by the flocks of thy companions? If thou know not, O thou fairest among women, go thy way forth by the footsteps of the flock, and feed thy kids beside the shepherd's tents. I have compared thee, O my love, to a company of horses in Pharaoh's chariots. Thy cheeks are comely with rows of jewels, and thy neck with chains of gold. We will make thee borders of gold with studs of silver. While the king sitteth at his table, my spikenard sendeth forth the smell thereof. A bundle of myrrh is my well-beloved unto me. He shall lie all night betwixt my breasts. My beloved is unto me as a cluster of camphor in the vineyards of Engedi. Behold, thou art fair, my love. Behold, thou art fair. Thou hast the dove's eyes. Behold, thou art fair, my beloved. Yea, pleasant. Also our bed is green. The beams of our house are cedar, and our rafters of fir. So far, the reading of God's holy word. We will now read the form for the administration of holy baptism, which you can find on page 55 or 126 in the back of your Psalter. The principal parts of the doctrine of holy baptism are these three. First, that we, with our children, are conceived and born in sin, and therefore are children of wrath, insomuch that we cannot enter into the kingdom of God except we are born again. This, the dipping in, or sprinkling with water, teaches us whereby the impurity of our souls is signified, and we, admonished to loathe and humble ourselves before God, and seek for our purification and salvation without ourselves. Secondly, holy baptism witnesseth and sealeth unto us the washing away of our sins through Jesus Christ. Therefore, we are baptized in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. For when we are baptized in the name of the Father, God the Father witnesseth and sealeth unto us that he doth make an eternal covenant of grace with us, and adopts us for his children and heirs, and therefore will provide us with every good thing, and avert all evil, or turn it to our profit. And when we are baptized in the name of the Son sealeth unto us that he doth wash us in his blood from all our sins, incorporating us into the fellowship of his death and resurrection, so that we are freed from all our sins and accounted righteous before God. In like manner, when we are baptized in the name of the Holy Ghost, the Holy Ghost assures us by this holy sacrament that he will dwell in us and sanctify us to be members of Christ, applying unto us that which we have in Christ, namely, the washing away of our sins and the daily renewing of our lives, till we shall finally be presented without spot or wrinkle among the assembly of the elect in life eternal. Thirdly, whereas in all covenants there are contained two parts, therefore are we by God through baptism admonished of and obliged unto new obedience, namely that we cleave to this one God, Father, Son, and Holy Ghost, that we trust in Him and love Him with all our hearts, with all our souls, with all our mind, with all our strength, that we forsake the world, crucify our old nature, and walk in a new and holy life. And if we sometimes, through weakness, fall into sin, we must not therefore despair of God's mercy, nor continue in sin, since baptism is a seal and undoubted testimony that we have an eternal covenant of grace with God. And although our young children do not understand these things, we may not therefore exclude them from baptism, for as they are without their knowledge partakers of the condemnation in Adam, so are they again received unto grace in Christ. As God speaketh unto Abraham, the father of all the faithful, and therefore unto us and our children, saying, I will establish my covenant between me and thee, and thy seed after thee in their generations, for an everlasting covenant to be a God unto thee, and to thy seed after thee. This also the apostle Peter testifieth with these words, for the promise is unto you and to your children, and to all that are afar off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call. Therefore, God formerly commanded them to be circumcised, which was a seal of the covenant and of the righteousness of faith. And therefore Christ also embraced them, laid his hands upon them, and blessed them. Since then, baptism is come in the place of circumcision, and therefore infants are to be baptized as heirs of the kingdom of God and of his covenant. Parents are in duty bound further to instruct their children herein when they shall arrive to years of discretion. That therefore this holy ordinance of God may be administered to his glory, to our comfort, and to the edification of his church, let us call upon his holy name. O Almighty and Eternal God, Thou who hast, according to Thy severe judgment, punished the unbelieving and unrepentant world with the flood, and hast, according to Thy great mercy, saved and protected believing Noah and his family, Thou who hast drowned the obstinate Pharaoh and his host in the Red Sea, and hast led thy people Israel through the midst of the sea upon dry ground, by which baptism was signified, we beseech thee that thou wilt be pleased of thine infinite mercy graciously to look upon these children, and incorporate them by thy Holy Spirit into thy Son, Jesus Christ, that they may be buried with him into his death, and be raised with him in newness of life, that they may daily follow him, joyfully bearing their cross, and cleave unto him in true faith, firm hope and ardent love. They may, with a comfortable sense of thy favor, leave this life, which is nothing but a continual death, and at the last day may appear without terror before the judgment seat of Christ, thy Son, through Jesus Christ our Lord, who with thee and the Holy Ghost, one only God, lives and reigns forever. Amen. While the children are brought in, let us sing from Psalter 419, stanzas 1 and 2. Forth from thy courts, thy sacred dwelling, in jubilant accord, we hear sweet strains of praises swelling, O Israel's mighty Lord. 1 and 2 of 419.